Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, listen up, because I'm only going to say this once. In good old Anglican fashion, we've got two readings today. And what we're going to do is, in the second reading, which is an epistle, is four verses, and it will be up on the screens. But I shall read verses 1 and 3, and you will read, or we'll all read together, verses 2 and 4. The reason for that is that there are lots of the times the word "we" appear in that second reading, and it seemed good that we should all join in. And then we'll do the acclamation at the end as normal. If you want to follow the first reading, it's on page 1075 in the Bibles on the table, and 1225 for the second reading. So our gospel reading is John chapter 8, verses 51 to 58. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You're not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Our epistle reading is 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and as I said, you join in verses 2 and 4. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Sounds a bit boomy. That is boomy. Right. Now, I do think with this sort of service, because this is basically cafe church, isn't it? If you've experienced cafe church, it's good to, you know, as much interaction as possible. So if anyone wants to stop me, put your hand up. I don't want to make it like school, but it's a good way of asking a question. And but I'd like you to think, I'll ask you all to put up your hands, if you don't mind, because you don't have to. Do you have a middle name? Could you put up your hand if you've got a middle name? Well, it looks like most people, and obviously some people might not want to let me know they've got a middle name. So, okay. So would you mind just telling those around you, again, you don't have to, what your middle name is, because I find it quite interesting. And I do know that there's some quite unusual ones here. You've got a middle name, Phil.
I'm John. Woo. What are you?
I'm the same as you. Yeah. All right, okay, order. Now, I've lost control. Order. Oh, excuse me. Right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we haven't got all day. Well, I don't think we've got all day. I think we need to go home for lunch at some point. Okay. Right, I'm going to carry on now. I can't believe that you have that many middle names. Hey, I really opened the gates, didn't I, by saying talk to one another. All right, stop talking to one another, please. Oh. Oh. What a job PJ has got with you lot. Right, back to the plot today is to talk to you about pondering who is Jesus, because none of us know everything about Jesus, and there is so much to know about Jesus. Okay, so get back to my notes here. Now, there's a quote that's up on the screen. I hope you can all see that. I'm going to have to look at it to get the quote, because I haven't got it written down there. So it says, a stable had something in it that was bigger than the whole world. And that's a quote from C.S. Lewis. Now, I think there should be a prize to anyone who could get the right answer to what book is that in, or who was it said by in one of C.S. Lewis's books, because they weren't all just, normal narrative, were they? Some of them were stories and so on. Anyone want to have a guess at who said that, or what?
Mere Christianity.
No, it's not Mere Christianity. No. All right, it is one of the stories. It is one of his story books. It was actually said by Lucy, who was Queen Lucy in the Narnia books, and that's what Queen Lucy is actually saying. There's something in Narnia that was similar to something in her world, which is our world, and she said in our world there was a stable in which a child was born who was bigger than the whole world, and she was referring to Jesus in that quote. Okay, so that's when I say Jesus is bigger than any of our understanding. We're going to ponder this a bit and learn a bit more about how big Jesus is today. Okay. So, just to ponder a few things about how Jesus is really big. Well, we're still celebrating Christmas, because this Sunday is called the first Sunday of Christmas, would you believe? And some years there are two Sundays of Christmas. Epiphany comes in, and then some years I think Epiphany takes over after the first year of Christmas. And this next year is Epiphany next Sunday. So Christmas has only lasted one Sunday after Christmas this year. But Christmas, as you know, these days, starts way before Christmas, doesn't it? It's by far the biggest birthday party in the world. In fact, it's the biggest celebration in our world. And that, in a sense, is one of the ways that Jesus is huge and large. It takes up a 12th of the year. Billions of people around the world set aside their normal routine to celebrate and travel to see family and friends. And Christmas lights and sounds fill the air everywhere. And that is an interesting thing, because it actually is a fulfillment of what the angels said, that Christmas was joy for all people. And it continues to be that around the world, or it increases to be that, I should say, around the world every year. So that's a way that Jesus is huge. Now another way is, I've got here my diary for tomorrow and following right through next year. Now if you look at my diary, it's 2024. Why is it 2024 next year? Yes. But why 2024? Where does that date come from? It comes from the day or the year that Jesus, they think, he was born. So that Jesus has changed history. He has split history in half. You've got BC, before Christ, and AD, and Anno Domini, year of our Lord, AD, 2024 next year. And so your birthdays are related to Jesus' birth. If you look at a gravestone, when someone was born, when they die, it's all related to Jesus' birth. It's amazing, I think, how big Jesus is. Now, why did he come? Why did he come? So there's lots of ideas about this, I'm sure. But the angel's words were, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So Jesus came to bring people great joy. And Jesus said himself, John 10:10, I have come that you might have life in all its fullness. So same sort of thing Jesus is saying to what the angel prophesied when Jesus was born, the day that he was born. That he's come to bring joy to everyone. That means you and me. And if you think, oh, I think Jesus is pretty cool, but what does it mean for me? Well, actually, he's come to make your life the fullest life it can be on earth. And that is pretty huge. Because if you find this to be true, it actually means that you've got something to share with lots of other people, because lots of people do not find life to be particularly wonderful or the best it could possibly be. But with Jesus, it can be that. Here comes more wild weather outside, so I'm pleased you're here in the dry. Right. But so the angel says, this news is for you, for all people. It's for you, this good news. He's come to you because basically God loves you. And you might never be alone. You could be alone on your own physically, but Jesus has come to be with you on earth so that you never need to be alone, even if you are physically alone. So that's a huge thing as well about Jesus. Now, I ask you to get your middle names, and interestingly, this young man here has the same middle name as me. We are both John. There we are. This is not Phil, this is John. Today he's John. Okay, and I know I've got actually two relatives here who have very interesting middle names, and I don't know if they shared it with anyone, but they are very meaningful middle names. Now, Jesus, let's see, we might move on to another slide. Okay. This is Paul writing about Jesus, St. Paul. And he said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And again, so Jesus is so big that it becomes indescribable, because there's so many things. And I'm just touching on one or two this morning for you to ponder. And that's my hope today, that you pick up something fresh that you haven't pondered before, because there is so much to be picked up about Jesus. Okay. So middle names, next slide. All right. So Jesus has, actually, he has, I think, 40 middle names. Yeah, and I bet you were talking for a long time, so maybe you've got lots of middle names as well. And there is a verse from the Old Testament predicting Jesus' coming. You can see that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Now, all those names are very meaningful because they actually help us to get a picture of who this Jesus is, not just the baby. But actually, there's lots more. Can anyone think of any more names, middle names that Jesus had? Because it's Jesus Christ, but there are these lots of middle names. Can you think of some? The Lamb of God. Yes, Jesus is the Lamb of God. And that's full of meaning. I won't go into the meaning, but you could discuss that, I'm sure, if you'd like to. Any more? There are, like I say, lots of them. Hannah. The gate. I am the gate. Good shepherd. Yes. Oh, there's a hand went up. I like it when people put their hands up. It's nice and orderly. Yes. The bread of life. Excellent. Who likes bread? Oh, there's such yummy types of bread around. Jesus said, I'm the way. Fantastic. I'm going to stop there because you're on the ball. It's really good. Now, the one I wanted to ponder, just one of them, just a little bit, is that in that list on that slide, it says he is Mighty God. Now, this is, I think, the huge miracle of Christmas, is that somehow this Mighty God who created everything shrunk down into be a little helpless baby. That is most extraordinary miracle. No other religion offers us God coming to earth as a baby and growing up to be a man. Most religions have a system of us reaching God, or trying to, but our faith on its own talks about God becoming one of us to show us what he's like, to show us that he loves us and to save us from ourselves and from the bad things that are around us so that we can then be with him in the next life forever. Okay. So, Mighty God means that Jesus made everything, and actually our readings said that, and those readings, there's a lot in them to ponder about who Jesus is. And those readings say this. The first reading said, all things were made through him. Everything that has been made through Jesus. That is so huge. And without him was not anything made that was made. And it also says, in him was life. So anything that's living was made by God. So we're reading here, in that first reading, that as well as being the creator of the universe, and that should blow our minds, the universe, I mean, they say that there's more stars like our sun in the universe than grains of sand on all the beaches on our planet. And that's just science telling you how vast it all is and how wonderful it all is. Okay, Jesus made it all. But life actually is more important, isn't it? Now, I don't know if you like Mr. Brian Cox. I think I must be a bit like him because I smile quite a lot. But he smiles all the time. He's an amazing man, Brian Cox. Now, he had a series out recently called Human Universe, and he said that it is exploring the most precious, most wonderful thing in the universe. What do you think that thing is? What is the most precious, most wonderful thing in the universe? What could it be? It's you and me. It's us. Well, I was quite amazed him saying that. But actually, it fit. I don't agree with everything he says, but that fits in exactly with how God sees you and me. Because the Bible says God so loved the world, that means us, Not the planet, he's talking about the people of the world, that he gave his one and only son, in so that whoever believes in him should not perish. So at the end of their life, shouldn't be, that's it, but should have eternal life, should go on with God forever in the fullest and most wonderful sense possible. God loves us, and in order to enable us to be fit for heaven, he died on the cross so that he forgave the sins of the whole world, everyone that's done anything wrong from the beginning of mankind to the very end of the world were forgiven when he said on the cross, it is finished, it is completed, I have done what I came to do, I've forgiven the sins of everybody, but they have to somehow relate with me for it to work for them. So the next slide, thank you, there we are, that's you and me. So there is something for us to do, isn't it? Jesus has actually done it all, but we'll put it another way, he has given himself to you and me. So it's like he's held out his hand to rescue us from everything that's bad within us, as well as everything that's around the world, so that we're fit, not just for heaven, but to live this life with the fullest possible life we can have. And what do we do? What do we do? How do you respond to someone that's doing that? You give them a hug, I hope. Probably not any stranger, but as we learn about Jesus, we learn that we can trust him. And our right response is to accept his embrace, and a relationship is formed. So he calls each one of us. Now, some of us might say, well, I'm not sure I'm ready for whatever God wants of me. And I was like that. For 6 months in my life, I was thinking, So if I become a Christian, what would God do with me? What would he do with me? But I needed to look at who Jesus was to understand that I could trust him, because everything he did was good, and he was just so huge. The more I learnt about him, the bigger he got. And so after 6 months of pondering this, I thought, well, I guess I should respond to him. And I did. And then I knew that I'd changed, that he, through a relationship starting with him, I had come home. I don't know quite how else to put it, but you know, we all know what home is like, and actually I've already had an earthly home, but I've now got a home forever, and that home, if you like, goes with me wherever I go, and Jesus is my closest friend throughout my life and into the next, because I've accepted his embrace, what he did for me. Okay, so that's it. I'm going to say a prayer. If you want to respond to his call to you, which is to trust in him, if you trust in him, you will have eternal life. It's his gift. Not you've been given that life for this life, but it's a new life to help you through this life in the fullest possible way and into the next with God. So I'm going to say a prayer, and if you say this prayer in your heart, it will mean the same for you. But you might not think I'm ready for that, and that's fine. But keep learning about how big Jesus is, and you will, I believe, then make this prayer something like it your own as well. So I'm going to say this prayer. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life, and for not loving you when you love me so much. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that you always do what you say. Thank you that you have come into my life. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you said a prayer like that for the first time, or even for the 100th time, please... feel free to have a talk with me or Phil or Anne. And equally, at the end of the service, if you'd like to pray for Jesus to help you in any aspect of your life, come and talk to Anne and Phil and or me, and we'll have a pray with you in the church, away from everyone else. Okay. Thank you.